I want you to turn with me, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're just going to read the one verse that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this service this evening. I had the grandchildren this afternoon, so I'm very much cast upon the Lord this evening. And you can understand that when everybody wants granda's attention or granny's. But nevertheless, it is a joy to have children around the house, and there's never a dull moment. But nevertheless, let's turn to God's Word, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Just the one verse, and here's Paul as he speaks to these believers that live in a little patch of ground between two great land masses. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We'll read that again. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen. And we trust that the Lord will bless that reading and the meditation of his word to our hearts. The topic of our message tonight is what's new? Well, what is new? I'm sure that whenever you buy the newspaper, when you switch on the television and you switch on to the news, you say, well, that's the same old news, only in a different, for a different day. Nothing seems to change, whether it's political, whether it's financial, whether it's to do with wars and countries or education or health. It just seems to be, it's the same old news. Yesterday's news is the same as today's news. And also, whenever we are presented with a product, it'll, if they're wanting to revamp their sales, they'll say, all new. The all-new whatever that might happen to be. An all-new formula. An all-new recipe. And in actual fact, all that has changed is the packaging. I remember whenever I was a cub, which is not that really long ago, to be honest with you, I bought this Ford Escort. Anybody remember the Ford Escort? It was a Mark II. I think what they were doing is they were getting to the end of the chain and they were going to cease the end of a chain, and they weren't going to sell any more Escorts. And so what they did was they put a Go Faster stripe on the side of it, and they called it a Ford Escort Elite. And the only difference that was on that car was the stripe down the side of it. But in actual fact, and at the very heart and the foundation, was still the same as the old one. And you know as well as I do that what, all this packaging, all new recipe, all new brand, and all they've done is change the colour of the packaging. At the very heart and at the very basis, it's still the same. There might be somebody here this evening, and it's a wee bit like that for you, and that's how you view salvation. You didn't really expect an awful lot to change. You didn't really expect an awful lot to happen, and well, if you didn't expect an awful lot, not an awful lot happens. By my experience, as I've been an evangelist and more laterally a pastor, people don't know and expect an awful lot from God when he saves them. It's just the old packaging wrapped up in a new, it's the old product wrapped up in a kind of a new packaging. You know, God's salvation says when if any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. All things pass away. All things become new. And you know, it's little wonder that we've got the problems of the world in the church. Because nothing's changed. You know that the moral situation in the world is identical to the moral situation in the church? It's true. In fact, in America, divorce in Christian circles has outstripped divorce in the secular world. Nothing's changed. And you see, if nothing changes at the very heart, well, why do we expect anything to change on the outside? Now, maybe you, somewhere down the line, you put up your hand, and I'm not trying to bring a lack of assurance or anything like that on you. But what I want to do is, maybe you misunderstood the workings of the gospel. You thought that perhaps it was some formula that you were taking in, that you had no need to cooperate with God in anything, and that somehow, hey presto, and all changed, and there was no pain or cost or no need to obey God, that everything just happened for you, and it happened against your will. Well, Paul says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things pass away. All things become new. Did you become new when you were saved? Did the world change from the inside out for you? Did your desires, your designs, your direction, your determination, did your heart, your appetites, did everything change or begin to change at least? Did a transformation? 'Tis done, the great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and He is mine. Well, I have a very simple wee message for you. As we look at this and taking this word new, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Because maybe you're fed up with that old profession that you've been making. Maybe you're fed up with the staleness of your relationship. And you would love a new start. Well, you know, salvation is not a new start in life. Salvation is a new life to start with. Maybe you'd love just to know the slate wiped clean, a new canvas. And they're fed up with the regularity, the mundaneness of your existence, and you want to know something more fresh and vibrant. Well, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Now, don't laugh when I give you my first heading. The aroma that newness emits. Did you ever buy anything new? Do you know that they've got an air freshener for a car, and it's called the new car smell? So you could be driving around in an oil crock, and all you have to do is get this air freshener, it smells like a new car, and they presto. When you buy a new carpet, it'll smell new. And you buy a new piece of furniture, it'll smell new. And whenever people come in and visit you, well, there's something new. What'd you buy? Isn't that true? Do you know whenever... Now, I'm not saying that you all start wearing, after you get saved, that you all start wearing, well, it's a good idea that you wear deodorant and things like that. It's true. But what I'm saying, you know, so what I've discovered is whenever I have met new converts, there are some people, not say every convert I've ever met, but I've met some converts, and I just know that something refreshing has happened in their lives. There's a brightness, there's a freshness, there's a refreshness about them. Wouldn't you agree with me? I mean, there's a bubble in their life. There's a spring in their step. And it's as if they've got a whole new sort of makeover. Well, that's exactly what has happened. It's almost as if there's a visibleness of their freshness. They're clean. I want to tell you, sin has a decaying. Still, it is a staleness about sin that sweeps over the soul. But whenever Christ deals with this, with the fact of the problem of sin, it's as if there's a freshness, that newness, that smile. David said, he put a new song in my mouth. Even praise to our God. It's interesting that whenever you read through the scriptures, how many times different diseases were related to the problem of sin. Like fevers, leprosy, paralysis, blindness, deafness. They describe the awful condition of sin. Turn with me, and I think you'll find it all contained in these few verses. Isaiah chapter 1. Now, Isaiah is describing the spiritual condition of Israel. And we all know that the spiritual condition of Israel was sinful. But here's how he describes it. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Why should ye be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Now he's describing the sinful condition of Israel. And in doing that, he's describing the sinful condition of a soul. And if you know that when there's a disease or anything, there's a sense of aroma that comes from that disease. But I want to tell you, whenever you get saved, Jesus heals all our soul's diseases. Doesn't he? He takes away the stench of sin that seems to emit from those who are downed and bound and fettered in nature's darkness and night. And he says, behold, I make all things new. I wouldn't have liked you to have known the old Trevor Gallanders. Boy, he had some language. And he had a temper to boot. I had one of the worst tempers that it was in our family. Now, I was brought up in a family of 11 children. And you know what I'm going to say next, don't you? Jean, do you want to say it for me? I was the best looking of them all. But I tell you, there was a... Well, Esther says that anyway. And she doesn't need glasses. How about you? I can remember, there's a thing that sticks out in my mind. I mean, I've been in fights, I've been in rows, and I tell you, it didn't matter the size of the man, I'd have tackled him. I don't want to tell you a story about a particular man where I was arrested by the Gardaí, but then they let me go. Now, this was before I got saved. By the way. A wee bit of a feud going on in Monaghan, and me and my mate was in there getting chips. And I said to David, I says, David, we may leave, because them boys, we did a row before, and them boys will be after us. And David went out first, and I went out after him. And there's my friend David, and he's lying in the middle of the gutters, in the middle of Dublin Street in Monaghan. And I looked at this boy, and he was 6 foot something else. And I looked at David out cold. And I was like a wee terrier. Boy, I was after him. But let me tell you, the next thing that I remember was the Gardaí pulling me off him and the blood running out of him. I had lost it. I had the shortest temper that you could ever imagine. Now, that wasn't very glorifying, was it? I want to tell you, God dealt with that temper. My dear friend, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Sin is a blight. It's a burden. It's a bitterness. It's a barrenness upon the soul. And it causes the stench of fever and disease to emit from our lives towards the nostrils of a holy God. But our God makes all things new. Let me tell you what the Word of God says. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, and that times of refreshing. Wash you and make you clean, he says. Hallelujah. Let me tell you what it says in Psalm 103. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities and who healeth all thy diseases. Not just one or two. He healeth all your diseases. Oh, the aroma that newness emits. In fact, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 2. For we are unto God a sweet savour of Christ. Eh? Not a lovely verse. A sweet smell, sweet sending savour. Oh, God looks upon the child of God who knows what it really is to be saved. And he's, oh, there's a child of God. Is that your experience? In the nostrils of a holy God, do you emit a sweet savour? Oh, here's what the psalmist said. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. You know, he wants to do that for you. He wants you to experience that newness, that freshness. And you know where it's found? In Christ, sister. In Christ. there's no other way you can explain this preacher apart from the power of God. Oh, salvation brings freshness, it brings sweetness on the soul of the possessor because they are new creatures, old things are gone. Now, what aroma is there about your life? I don't know about you, but I know in our house, when Esther even senses that there's a strange smell in the house, boy, she becomes a bloodhound. And the cupboards are turned out, and everything, and that's coming up from the sewer, that's coming from under the sink, that's definitely under the floorboards. And it could be some farmer spreading slurry outside. And you know, you can get all the refreshers and freshers you like and spray it around the house. But I tell you, they'll wear away. And you can spend a fortune on the latest gadgets. I mean, you look at some of the aisles in Tesco's. I mean, they've got double aisles of air freshener and all Nutridol and all of these things. But when it comes to the aroma of sin in the life, you have to get to the source. And Jesus is the remedy for the source. Well, let me tell you what his Magna Carta was, that great commission that he was sent from heaven with in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. If you want to know what Jesus Christ came to do, then read Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, where it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, and to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty," to set at liberty them that are bound. What a Savior. Notice not only the aroma that newness emits, but notice the action that newness implies in Christ. I mean, you can take possession of a car, it might be new to you, but it could be 10 years old. The moment you enter into Christ, you are declared new. But that means, by virtue of saying, you're in Christ, and it implies that once you were not in Christ, a transaction has taken place, a relocation, a change of address. Something has happened. It just didn't happen to you. You had some cooperation in it. Not true. If any man be in Christ, well, listen, you could stay out of Christ, but you'll not know anything of his deliverance. You'll not know anything of his power. You'll not know anything of his newness. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Here's how the Bible describes you who's out of Christ. Oh, if you could only grasp these words, you wouldn't stay where you are tonight. Here's what it says in Ephesians. This describes the person who's still out of Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein time past you walked according to the course of this world." You just did what everybody else was doing. "According to the prince of the power of the air." In other words, you were dominated and you were led and you were manipulated by the power of the prince of the air, the devil himself. "The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also you all had your conversation in time past in the lusts of your flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he hath loved us, for even when we were dead in sins, hath Christ quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved." What a change, eh? What a step. You know, was it Neil? Which one of those spacemen died this part? Was it Neil Armstrong? Was it him that said, "One small step for man, one giant step for mankind"? It wasn't near as big as this step. Out of the kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of his own dear Son. Out of bondage, into liberty. Out of deadness, into life. Out of the guilt and the shame of sin, into the freedom we're in Christ that set us free. You know, you'll always find that there'll be those who want to offer you a spurious kind of salvation. And Jeremiah found that, and there were days that Jeremiah... See, Jeremiah was a prophet of God who told the truth, and because he told the truth, he was often persecuted and thrown into prison, and they threw away the key, and they didn't like the messenger, so they tried to kill the messenger. They didn't like the message, so they tried to kill the messenger. Well, in Jeremiah chapter 8, you needn't look it up, there are three verses I'm going to quote to you. And I'll explain to you who's speaking after I say each verse. Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 11, "For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly." This is God speaking, saying, "Peace, peace, when there is no peace." They were saying, Jeremiah was saying, "Listen, people, God's coming in judgment. You just go with them into captivity because God's with you as you go into captivity. Don't listen to these boys who say that the Babylonians are not coming, because they are coming." But the people who were leaders of the nation and of Israel, they were saying, "No, this is not going to happen. We've got a mighty defense. We've got a mighty army. We'll defend ourselves." So they were defending the people slightly or lightly. And you go to verse 15. And it says, "We looked for peace, but no good came, and for a time of health, and behold, trouble." This is the people that Jeremiah was ministering to. We thought our leaders knew what they were talking about. We thought these remedies that we presented to us were the real thing. You know, it says later on, "I tried the broken cisterns, but all the waters failed." And then we get God speaking rhetorically in verse 15. "Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered?" God was saying, "Listen, if you hadn't listened to these false prophets, if you'd put your trust in Jeremiah, who was the mouthpiece of God, and listened to what he had said, there was a balm in Gilead. There was one there who could heal the sin-sick soul." I love that song. "There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul." They decided to listen to the liar instead of the one that liberates. Jesus is that one who was offered once for all, sacrificed for sins never to be repeated again. He has finished the work. He has satisfied a righteous and a holy God. But you know what else he did? In Mark chapter 3, I don't know why I was saying March there. Mark chapter 3 and verse 27, not only did he provide a remedy and a ransom and a healing balm, but I want to tell you that he has also overcome the one that dominates and domineers your life. Here's what it says in Mark 3 and verse 27. "No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house." Jesus has rendered the devil's power powerless to set you free. "And whom the Son sets free is free indeed." Now, what am I getting at here? If you have truly made that transition, and if you've taken that step of faith and trusting in Christ, you are free in Christ. But if you're bound and fettered with habits and sin and shame and misery and debauchery, then you're still in bondage. In Christ means you've turned from where you were going and to where He is going. It means you've broken free from the emptiness of your soul and found freedom in Christ. It means you've changed your mind about your life and about who God is. It means you've ceased trusting in yourself and you started to trust in Him. It means that you have left the old life and the state of the world and you've entered into His life. I was reading about Jonah. In chapter 1, Jonah's running from God. And they just kept bringing him down. He went down to Joppa, down into the sea, down into the ship, down into the bottom of the ship. And then he was through out of the ship and he went down into the sea. And he went down into the bottom of the fish's belly. Any step away from God takes you down further and further in sin. Then in chapter 2, he starts thinking about what God can do, what salvation means. Did you know that Jonah got saved in the fish's belly? Did you know that? Because he said these words when he was still in the fish's belly. He says, salvation is of the Lord. And once he put his trust in God, the fish soon got sick of him and he spat him out. You know, the world will spit you out from the moment you trust in Christ. Notice in closing, not only the aroma that newness emits, the action that newness speaks of, but notice the assembly that newness effects. If any man be in Christ. No matter who it is, no matter who you are, where you come from. I've already said that Corinth was a little isthmus of land, a little small narrow channel between two great big land masses of land. People were, they had to, if they get to go from one land mass to the other, they went through Corinth. It was a busy city. That's why you got so much trouble in the church in Corinth, because there are so many people with so many views and so many ideas, and Paul's addressing some problems that were creeping into the church, and he was trying to identify anyone who really knows Christ is a new creature. And there were people from immoral backgrounds, there were people from heathen backgrounds, there were people from adulterous backgrounds, there were people from all various backgrounds, but Paul was saying, listen, if any man be in Christ, doesn't matter where you come from, doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter the color of your skin, it doesn't matter what you believe, it doesn't matter what you've been born into. If any man be in Christ, there's nothing can hold you, because Christ can set you free, and he's a new creature, and God has no favorites, and God will save all who call upon his name. So what a blessing for those who are guilt-ridden. What a blessing for those who sense their own shame. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But listen, what a challenge. What a challenge to everyone here tonight. As many as trust Christ ought to know this transformation. Which begs the question then, if any man and every man who is in Christ is a new creature, why are we not showing this newness? Maybe we need to revisit this whole subject of salvation and what Christ does for us, can do for us, and wants to do for us. He wants to give you an aroma of Christ. He wants you to emit the aroma of Christ-likeness to the world. He wants you to know that change of location, and with it, that change of destination. And it doesn't matter who you are. If any man be in Christ. That's been the message for tonight, hasn't it? He's a new creature. And God wants to make you a new creature too. Let's bow in prayer together. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this tremendous privilege, this tremendous blessing of knowing, Lord, that our sins can be conquered and forgiven, that we can know freedom, that the devil has no right nor no hold upon those who know Christ and have know his power dwelling within their lives. And Lord, we know that this victory, this freedom didn't come cheaply. You gave your very life. Whenever you were hanging on the cross, when your blood was flowing, our Father, we thank you that Jesus was paying the ransom. He's paying the debt. He was providing a remedy. We thank you, Lord, that the longing of God's heart is that men and women might know that new life. That we might become the salt and the light of this world once again. Lord, we know that it's not your will that men and women in this congregation should be bound and fettered in some old sinful habit, some old lustful habit, some old sinful practice. We know that it's not your will that someone might be bound and fettered in some old darkness and despair and misery, some old sad location where they can't find the way out into the light. Lord, we know that there's not your will that men should live in doubt and fear when they can know the freedom and the light and the love of God. And we believe just now, O God, you're moving upon this congregation and you want to do something new and fresh in those who have been described. Father, in Jesus' mighty name and because of your great mercy, do it in every heart, we pray, that's bowed in your presence. May they call out in faith and in grace and know the liberty and the healing balm of Christ flooding their soul to the glory of God. And all because of Calvary. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. 326, we're going to close our service by singing, Blessed be the fountain of blood to a world of sinners revealed. Blessed be the dear Son of God, only by his stripes are we healed. Do you want to be healed tonight? Do you want your life to count for more than what it already counts for? I'd be standing at the door on the way out. There's a little prayer room there. I'd be able to take you into there and privately pray with you and lead you to the only one that can redeem you and set you free, Christ himself. He doesn't want you in bondage. And he doesn't want you running around guilt-ridden either. He wants you to know that power of Christ living in me, as has already been sung. Let's stand and sing, and if that's your desire, then please speak with us as you leave the church this evening. Thanks, Glenn. presence. God has spoken to your heart. Do please avail of the opportunity that's been afforded to you. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that's the lover of our soul, and the blessed presence and peace of God the Father, who loves us with an eternal love, and the presence and comfort and guidance of the Holy Spirit be our portion this evening and into the days that lie ahead. For we ask it in the Saviour's name. Amen.